Hello, and welcome to the first episode of the UAC's Graduate Forum podcast series. This new concept intends to highlight the research and insights of our network of postgraduate and early career researchers in contemporary European studies. Inspired by the theme of our 2023 Graduate Forum Research Conference held in Barcelona, Rebuilding Europe After a Decade in Crisis, we are joined today by Luca Auger, a PhD candidate at the Université Sorbonne Nouvelle in Paris. Based in the Centre for Research on the English-speaking World, Luca's discussion will focus on the declining relationship between Boris Johnson and the Conservative Party, its repercussions on Brexit, and Britain's current political situation. Welcome, Luca.
Hello.
So, to begin, on the 15th of June 2023, the House of Commons Privileges Committee found that former Prime Minister Boris Johnson deliberately misled the House regarding the so-called Partygate scandals. What exactly happened, and why does this matter?
So although the last few days are significant, they're actually part of a longer political drama. Since 2021, the BBC have uncovered that members of the Conservative government, including then Prime Minister Boris Johnson, attended 15 parties during the various COVID-19 lockdowns in the UK. And this was in breach of public health regulations, and several individuals, including Johnson himself, were fined for being present at this party. As you can imagine, as these informations were revealed to the public, outcry became widespread. And subsequently, a parliamentary inquiry was set up to investigate the claims made by Johnson that he believed the parties were lawful. After months of consideration, the final report of the inquiry was published a few days ago on the 15th of June, 2023. And the report found that Johnson had misled Parliament by making inaccurate claims. The ruling, of course, is significant because it details that while a former prime minister, an elected member of parliament of the governing Conservative Party, was found by a cross-party committee to have lied to parliament, it clearly has wide-ranging political and, of course, democratic consequences.
So how did Johnson, the Conservative Party, and the current prime minister, Rishi Sunak, react?
This is actually where things get a bit complicated. So Johnson could have accepted the findings of the report, and Prime Minister Rishi Sunak could have suspended Johnson or asked his party to endorse the findings of the report. But none of this happened. So even before the report was published, Johnson announced his resignation as member of parliament and called in a statement the inquiry, and I quote, a kangaroo court. Because he believed, well, that the inquiry's purpose from the beginning was to find him guilty regardless of the facts. And initially he even tried to push his remaining allies in parliament to vote against the report before calling it off. And the conclusions of the report also directly impacted the Conservative Party. Well, two Johnson allies resigned from parliament, triggering potentially dangerous by-elections for the party. Several other party members reacted in support of Johnson and accused directly the committee of inciting infighting within the Conservative Party. And what's interesting is that when parliament voted on the report on June 20th, well, only seven Conservative MPs officially voted against the report, but around 224 Conservative MPs, so approximately two-thirds of the party, didn't even participate. And what's also interesting is that the current Conservative Party leader and Prime Minister, Rishi Sunak, well, didn't participate in the vote, but also didn't publicly express any opinion on the matter. And such a move might be surprising for someone who promised, well, integrity, professionalism, and accountability at every level on the very day he became Prime Minister just a few weeks ago, a few months ago. And while he could have used the report to assert that this was really one of his priorities, but instead his cautious stance can be understood as an attempt to calm things down within the Conservative Party by not frontally discrediting Johnson.
Sunak was Johnson's Chancellor of the Exchequer from 2020 to 2022 and has tried to depart from Johnson's legacy in government since becoming Prime Minister. So where does this leave the government and the UK in terms of policy making?
You're right. Sunak immediately tried to open a new area of government away from the more turbulent Johnson premiership and the much shorter Truss premiership. Well, already in terms of character, Sunak is more pragmatic and cautious than Johnson or even Truss. But also in terms of governance, Sunak worked upon resolving some of the issues that were ongoing and that he inherited from his predecessor. He signed, for example, the Windsor Agreement, which stabilized the previously rather tense relationship with the European Union. And he has trusted the more pragmatic Jeremy Hunt as Chancellor to support the struggling British economy. So we can really see that under Sunak, the UK government is more subtle maybe than under his predecessors, but still the Conservative Party on which Sunak relies to govern continues to unfold in intra-party divisions and tensions. And this will be extremely problematic in the wake of the upcoming general election, which is scheduled within the next 18 months, and is already increasing the probability of the Conservative Party being pushed into the opposition and the Labour Party being in government.
You haven't mentioned Brexit, which was completed more than 2 years ago. With Johnson's resignation and Sunak's more pragmatic style, does Brexit still play a role in British politics?
So as shown since the 2016 referendum, Brexit still plays a significant role in British politics and especially within the Conservative Party. In his resignation statement, Johnson said that, well, there was supposedly a witch hunt underway to take revenge for Brexit and ultimately trying to reverse the 2016 referendum result. And he called even upon Sunak to show how the government is making the most of Brexit. So clearly for Johnson and his allies, Brexit continues to be a rallying issue that structures their approach of political and institutional dynamics. And Sunak, even if he signed the Windsor Agreement and went back on his decision, for example, to massively revoke the retained EU law, well, he has no plans to question this Brexit mantra that has dominated the Conservative Party since 2016. Johnson's resignation in the end and the debate around the inquiry display how divided the Conservative Party still is. And the report also revealed that, well, even if Johnson is personally sidelined, his influence continues to be exerted over some party members. And in any case, Johnson's realization of Brexit remains an unchangeable status quo for the Conservative Party, even under more pragmatic prime ministers like Rishi Sunak. The question then, as a conclusion, of course, is how much of this will hold while the party is losing ground and might join the opposition bench.
Let's indeed see how things unfold in British politics until the next general election in 2024. Many thanks, Luca, for this update on British politics and the Conservative Party. I trust we'll keep in touch. So this concludes the first episode of the UAC's Graduate Forum podcast series. Keep an eye on our social media accounts for upcoming content and see you all in the next episode. Thank you.